The knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League are beginning to shape up, with eight teams through already. On Tuesday, Besiktas, Tottenham and Manchester City all guaranteed they'll finish top of their groups, while the holders Real Madrid sealed their place into the round of 16. Liverpool looked to be cruising to qualification, but an inspired second-half performance from Sevilla ended that.
It's Pizarro! It's an equaliser! The comeback is completed! Sevilla have equalised in the third minute of injury time!
So all still to play for in Group E. In Group F, Napoli saw off Shakhtar in style to stay in contention.
Chance to hit it right footed. Oh, what a goal! Lorenzo Insigne for Napoli. That is a beauty. Right into the goalkeeper's top left-hand corner.
Then on Wednesday in Turin, it was a battle of European heavyweights. But surprisingly, Barcelona and Juventus played out a goalless draw that did see Barca go through top in Group D. Whilst in Madrid, a crucial win for Atletico keeps their hopes alive for qualification with a vital win over Roma.
Oh, and he squeezed it in! A stunning second for Atletico, who double their lead with 5 minutes to go, and they will take the race for qualification surely down to match day six.
And Chelsea's win over Karabakh sees them through to the knockout stages. We'll hear from key players and head coaches, including Antonio Conte, Dele Alli and Raheem Sterling, as we analyse all of the action right here on Match Day Live. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and there's so much to discuss after two nights of group stage action in the UEFA Champions League. European football expert Andy Brassel is here. Andy, I don't quite know where to start, but let's talk about Barcelona getting that result against Juve, enough to just see them over the line.
Yes, and it was a very interesting, very absorbing game, certainly in the second half when Barcelona really started to up the tempo. But I think Juventus will take a lot of heart from that, because the fact was that Barcelona were pushing hard on them, and yet they managed to, with so many defensive questions about them at the moment, defend really well. And Gianluigi Buffon actually had very little to do, apart from give out lots of hugs at the end.
Also, Chelsea going through to the next round. Manchester United, though, also from England, denied a place in the round of 16 for now after that late goal. What a moment for Basel.
That's right. And Basel, they do love to play against and really challenge English opposition. And I thought they were really daring in that second half, and they needed to be, of course, after that result for Cisca earlier in the day.
Okay, let's start with the classified check then of all of Match Day 5's results, and we'll start with Tuesday. Group E, Sevilla 3, Liverpool 3, Spartak 1, Maribor 1. In Group F, Napoli 3, Shakhtar Donetsk 0, Manchester City 1, Feyenoord 0. Group H, Borussia Dortmund 1, Spurs 2, Apoel 0, Real Madrid 6, and in Group G, Monaco 1, Leipzig 4, Besiktas 1, Porto 1. Wednesday, Group C, Atletico 2, Roma 0, Karabakh 0, Chelsea 4. Group D, Juventus 0, Barcelona 0, Sporting 3, Olympiacos 1. Group A, Basel 1, Manchester United 0, CSKA Moskva 2, Benfica 0. Group B, Paris Saint-Germain 7, Celtic 1, Anderlecht 1, Bayern 2. Well, let's start off our complete review with Tuesday's action in Group E with one of the games of the season. It was Sevilla versus Liverpool, and Richard Kaufman watched it.
The Brazilian Philly Coutinho raises his left arm, then tries to get someone to come to the near post. It is a near post. Three on the far post. Roberto Firmino. It's a header one by Firmino, and goes to get the far post. This time is Sadio Mane. Here come Liverpool again, though. Mane may be through. Simple finish for Roberto Firmino. Liverpool have three, and we've only had half an hour of play. Near post header, and it's in. It's in from Wissam Ben Yedder, and they have the goal back. The vital goal back just 5 minutes into the second half. Algenier, Wissam Ben Yedder, second time, steps up. He sends the keeper the other way this time and puts it into the left-hand corner. He does score his second of his game. Here comes the corner for Sevilla. It's headed out. Only as far as an equaliser. It's Pizarro. It's an equaliser. The comeback is completed. Sevilla have equalised in the third minute of injury time.
Second half were very bad, really. We didn't start well from the first whistle in the second half. Give a corner away immediately, and we struggled from then on. We stopped playing football, I think, as well. That was the main thing. We couldn't get the ball up to the front three to cause them problems like we did in the first half. So, yeah, it doesn't feel too good at the minute.
Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson speaking after Liverpool threw away that 3-0 lead to draw 3-3 with Sevilla. Andy, I saw Rafa Honigstein, German football journalist, with probably the best summary of it. A very bad way to get a good result for Liverpool, because they had it done and dusted. They basically won the group.
Yeah, and you know what? They've been here before in this group as well. They should have won the opening two games against Sevilla at Anfield and against Spartak in Moscow, and they let both of them slip. They should still just about get it over the line. I mean, Spartak, I think, have surprised in this group in good and bad ways, in the way they beat Sevilla, which was an absolutely terrific counter-attacking performance, and then by giving away that late goal against Maribor, which means they're no longer in control of their own destiny. So, well, I shouldn't say that. They have a mountain to climb, I think it's fair to say, to go to Anfield and have to win. So, yeah, that's different for them. It's going to be tough. And yeah, I think all of the teams in this group can have regrets, which is really, really unusual thing to say, I suppose, at this stage.
The English newspaper The Guardian ran with the story, Liverpool owed Sevilla a defeat for the 2016 Europa League final, writes Andy Hunter. Instead, they were transported back to Basel as another astonishing second-half recovery from Klopp's Spanish nemesis. Klopp talked a lot about maturity ahead of the game. Andy, did we see a mental fragility about Liverpool in that second half, or was that all about Sevilla coming out full pelt?
Well, Klopp didn't seem to think so, did he? He thought they took their foot off the gas a little bit. But I don't know if you could say it was panic by Liverpool, but it was just when they didn't keep up the momentum of the first half in that first part of the second half, when Sevilla got a little sniff of blood. I mean, that was it. We know Wissam Ben Yedder is showing at the moment he's one of the most lethal goal scorers in the UEFA Champions League. I think, you know, you look at his poise, the fact that he had to take the penalty twice and did it absolutely nervelessly on both occasions. And we know they're fine. We know they're difficult at home. We know they haven't lost at home in a year. They were never going to give that up easily. And when they got that moment, you know, they really took the ball by the horns. I wonder if Eduardo Berizzo picked the right team from the beginning. Maybe he didn't think so, because he made some adjustments in the second half. I thought they always looked vulnerable defensively against Liverpool's pace. But, you know, one huge part of coaching, of course, is rectifying those mistakes and correcting things on the fly, and he did that brilliantly, and his players responded as well.
Eduardo Berizzo has been in the headlines over the past 24 hours, Sevilla confirming that he's suffering prostate cancer at the moment. We wish him all the very best. Yes. In the same group as Liverpool and Sevilla, they finished 1-1 between Spartak and Maribor. So here's the group at the moment. Liverpool 9 points, Sevilla 8, Spartak 6, Maribor 2. Spartak have to go to Anfield to win on match day 6. It won't be easy. The two sides played out a draw in Russia earlier in the campaign. Let's go to Group F, Andy. Our other feature game on Tuesday saw Napoli host Shakhtar. Must win for Napoli. It was watched by Adam Summerton.
Insigne. Chance to hit it right footed. Oh, what a goal! Lorenzo Insigne for Napoli. That is a beauty. Right into the goalkeeper's top left-hand corner. It is vintage Lorenzo Insigne. It is Napoli 1, Shakhtar 0. Into the air it goes for Mertz. The pullback's brilliant, and Napoli lead 2-0. It's Zielinski who's got it. From all of 6 or 7 metres out, it was all about the assist from Mertens. Zielinski finished it off, and Napoli, surely now, will take all 3 points in Naples. Napoli 2, Shakhtar 0. In comes the corner towards Albiol at the back post. Oh, what a save! But he won't keep out Mertens' header, and Napoli are rampant now. Mertens, who made the second, scores the third. It's Napoli 3, Shakhtar 0.
Well, they did what they have to do. Napoli's chances still slim, but they got that 3-0 win against Shakhtar Donetsk. Steve Wyeth joins us on the show. Steve, you regularly cover Italian football. Your thoughts on Napoli's result?
Well, they needed to make sure that they beat Shakhtar Donetsk by a better scoreline than they'd lost to them earlier on in the group stage. That was a 2-1 reverse. So they did all that could be required of them. They were absolutely phenomenal, of course, in the second half, but it took a stunning strike from Lorenzo Insigne to set them on their way. They have been a joy to watch. I think it would be good for the UEFA Champions League if Napoli can get through to the knockout stage. They have played an exciting brand of attacking football, and I think it might help them in terms of the Scudetto as well. The theory in Italy is that Napoli's focus is very much on being crowned champions of Serie A, but I wonder whether if you're playing high-intensity football, that being regularly involved in games that mean something might just help them get over the line in that regard as well.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the consistency of their lineup in the calendar year of 2017, I think it has helped them. And what I really liked about this is, you know, we talk about teams that have really progressed in the UEFA Champions League, Tottenham being the obvious one, perhaps, how much they've learnt in a year. I don't really feel that about Napoli. I love to watch them, but I don't think they've come on in terms of game savvy in the same way that, say, a team like Tottenham have. That game was a real banana skin against Shakhtar Donetsk, who have been hugely underrated since the get-go in this group. They're experienced at this level. They've got lots of players who've played a lot of games in UEFA club competition. They didn't go too early. I think Napoli were really patient. That's not really something I've seen from them before. So for them to be able to do that in a game that mattered and now put the ball right back in Shakhtar's court, because I know Manchester City have qualified, it will not be easy for them to get a point from Manchester City and Kharkiv. City are one of the best teams in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with Napoli as well is that they're known for this attacking football, and only Juventus have scored more goals than them in Serie A so far this season. But they've also got the equal best defensive record with Roma. That's something they've added to their game this season. And that's in 9 of the last 10 seasons in Italy, the team that have conceded the fewest goals have been champions. So I think Napoli have realised that they've got to get better defensively if they're going to achieve their goals. And it might just be that having kept a clean sheet last night, that could well be the thing that helps them get into the knockout stage of the UEFA Champions League.
Andy, something you mentioned about the same 11 and the consistency in that, is that sustainable for Napoli? Can they burn through these, you know, 14, 15 players that they're using on a regular basis if they're staying in contention for this and the Serie A title, as Steve mentioned?
They'll need luck. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think the fact that they're a possession-heavy team rather than a counter-attacking team, which a lot of their contemporaries are, is something that is important because it means they don't have to press as much. So they should have a little bit more left in the legs. They're going to need luck. There's no doubt about that. Or they're going to need a very, very savvy, very smart January transfer window, because, of course, they're going to have to get players that aren't cup-tied in UEFA club competition. They're going to need players who make a big contribution but don't put the starter's nose out. It's a really difficult balance to hit, but they'll need a bit of luck and a bit of smarts to get there.
Against Milan at the weekend, five or six of the players that started that game had been involved in every game up until that point this season, which is a lot at the end of November. Something to remember, all being well, Arek Milik will be returning in January, and that will give them a different dimension, a different way of perhaps going about attacking opponents, at least.
Yeah, second ACL injury for Milik. Hope to see him back in a Napoli shirt soon. Meanwhile, Manchester City confirmed their place as group winners in Group F. Raheem Sterling scored the winner late on. He told us about the confidence running through this side.
With the squad that we've got, we're not just here to compete, we're here to go as far in the competition as we can. It's taking it step by step. We've done that in the group stages and now we're qualified. And yeah, as long as we keep playing the game that we know we can play, the simple football, I no doubt we can challenge any team in the world.
Raheem Sterling speaking there. There's a great video doing the rounds on Twitter at the moment as well of Pep Guardiola teaching Raheem Sterling something. You can't see the words, but you can see the body language and exactly what he wants him to do.
You don't need the words with Guardiola.
No, you don't. You'd love to hear it. And then you see Sterling's goal from last night, and it's exactly what he coached him about, giving it and going. It's absolutely extraordinary. City, great value to watch at the moment.
Yeah, they are. And I think you talk about how pleasing Raheem Sterling's form is. I guess another aspect that's very pleasing is the assist in that game by Ilkay Gundogan, who's had his difficulty in terms of injuries. We were talking about Arek Milik before, but it's great to have Gundogan back. And, you know, there have been questions over the depth of Manchester City, but I think we saw Gundogan, Yaya Toure playing themselves into some sort of rhythm. Okay, it's not going to be as fluent as it might be at the start, but when we start to hit the business end of the UEFA Champions League in February. If Gundogan, if Bernardo Silva, of course, who's not played that much in the first part of the season but was brilliant in this competition last season, and Yaya Toure has won it before, if they can all take more of an active part, that's going to give Guardiola the options that he needs.
Guardiola admitted that there wasn't enough jeopardy in the game for City to up it to another intensity level. But they got the job done. They've won the group. Maximum points. They look so good at the moment. City 15 points, Shakhtar 9, Napoli 6, Feyenoord none. Match day 6, Shakhtar host Manchester City. Napoli go to Feyenoord. Napoli needing a favour, big favour from Manchester City. Let's go to Group G. Leipzig 4-1 winners against Monaco. Phil Blacker joins us on the show now. He commentated on this game last night. And Phil, what a performance from Leipzig, who seem to be settling into European football now.
They really do. Their first away points in European football, and a night that they will always remember. A stunning first half display. All the five goals in the game coming in that first half. It really was excellent from Leipzig, who took their chances on the counter-attack. And just to put into perspective what they actually achieved in that game, Monaco had never conceded even three times in the first half of a UEFA Champions League match before that game. Conceded four in this one for the first time at home in any game, any competition since December of 2009. But what a fall from grace for Monaco, having been semi-finalists last season, out of Europe altogether before Christmas this time around, lost all three at home. But that takes nothing away from Leipzig's performance. They really are, as you say, finding their feet. Couple of goals again for Timo Werner, who's enhancing his already lofty reputation with his performances in this competition, and fully deserved the victory, which keeps their hopes of qualification alive, although it's still not in their own hands, of course.
Monaco, of course, a lot has been made of the changes, Phil, that they've had to make over the last little while, of course, with a few more departures than they would have planned. But this group of players still should have got more out of this UEFA Champions League campaign, shouldn't it?
They should. Yeah, there have been big changes. They've lost so many stellar attacking talents in particular since the semi-finals last season. But they brought, you know, really talented players into the club as well. And domestically, it hasn't disrupted them as much. They're still within 6 points of Paris Saint-Germain at the top of Ligue 1. It's been their home form in the UEFA Champions League which has let them down. They've picked up points in the two away games that they've played so far against Leipzig and Besiktas, only to lose all three at Stade Louis-II, where they were so strong last season, where, you know, historically they've been so strong in Europe. They never lost a home game in UEFA competition by more than a solitary goal until this season, and two of the three home games they've lost by three. 4-1 down at half time against Leipzig. Whatever you make of the changes over the summer, there have been plenty. They have weakened the squad to an extent in that the new younger players are going to take time to settle. It shouldn't have affected them to the extent that it apparently has.
Elsewhere in that group, Besiktas 1, Porto 1. Besiktas through as group winners. Congratulations to them, the first Turkish side to do so in Group G. So Porto and Leipzig both on 7 points. Porto host Monaco. Leipzig host Besiktas. Phil Blacker quickly, who is going through?
I think it will be Porto. If anything, the way that Leipzig beat Monaco has done themselves a disfavour, because Monaco can't now qualify. They've got nothing to play for. They'll be dispirited going to Porto, you would have thought. If Porto win that game, because of their head-to-head record with Leipzig, they go through, and I think that's the most likely outcome.
OK, thanks, Phil. Let's move on to Group H now. Borussia Dortmund 1, Spurs 2. Spurs are rallying from a goal behind to win that game after Aubameyang scored back from his internal suspension. Kane and Son struck in the second half, and that victory means Spurs win the group. They were inspired by their midfielder Dele Alli.
It's a big statement from us. Obviously, when the draw was done, we thought it was a really tough group, but it's what we wanted to be a part of. You know, it's when you're playing in the Champions League, you want to be playing against some of the best teams in Europe, and that's what we've had to do. And you know, we've come out on top, but we've just got to make sure we carry on and look forward to next game now.
Spurs win their group. Real Madrid will finish second after their 6-0 victory at Apoel. Andy, you saw a lot of Spurs in the UEFA Champions League last season, and I know you watch a lot of them now. Would you have backed them ahead of the group stage to win this section? Would you have backed them even to finish above Dortmund and Real Madrid?
I had a feeling they could do a little something, but I would be a liar to say I thought they could do this well. It has been an extraordinary transformation. They look so green, so wet behind the ears in UEFA Champions League terms last season. They're in, I guess, the same sort of group that Besiktas, Porto, Leipzig and Monaco are in this season, four very evenly matched
good
teams.
Good comparison, actually.
But they came up short from that very first game when they were tactically outwitted by Monaco at Wembley. They gave themselves such a great start in this competition, just with that brilliant win against Dortmund in the first game. And it's not just about having a plan. It's about adaptability. And I think if you go back to that first Dortmund game at Wembley, they defended brilliantly for the first half and counter-attacked really well. Then they grew into the game and physically took over and began to dominate in the last half hour. And I think to have those extra strings to your bow is absolutely vital in this competition. Of course, I think the fact that Harry Kane and Son Heung-min scored the goals was quite appropriate. Of course, Son always scores against Dortmund. But those two players have been absolutely key to their attacking efforts. The pace and the intelligence that they've shown has been really, really important. And they rode out their rough bit as well. You know, they went a goal down and Dortmund were looking good. And it was a really great goal, I thought, by Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But I think the key really is the way that Tottenham have played against the two games against Real Madrid. I don't know where all this experience has come from after a really disappointing campaign last time out and not a great stab at the UEFA Europa League either. But you just have to give huge credit not just to the players but to Mauricio Pochettino.
Ronaldo scored twice to take his tally to 18 UEFA Champions League goals in the year as well. Staggering. Spurs 13 points, Real Madrid 10. Dortmund and Apoel both on two. Apoel go to Spurs next on the 6th of December. Real Madrid host Dortmund. Who knows who's going to qualify for the UEFA Europa League. Next on the show, all the analysis and reaction from Wednesday's games.
European football is more diverse and multicultural than ever. Our competitions and grassroots projects feature players and fans from all backgrounds. And for UEFA, it's important to communicate that football is for all. Respect is a social responsibility initiative launched in 2008. For the last 4 years, this initiative has featured the message, No to Racism. UEFA is now evolving and expanding this message in an effort to promote inclusion, diversity and accessibility across not only ethnicity, but also gender, age, sexual orientation, all abilities and social backgrounds. The new campaign gives all football lovers in Europe a voice to share what football means to them. The new Respect campaign is called Equal Game. Because everyone is entitled to enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. On the pitch, we're all the same.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Andy Brassel and me, Rob Daly, alongside us as well as Steve Wyeth, our commentator for Juve Barcelona, as we start our review of Wednesday. 0-0, it sees Barcelona through to the next round. Steve, were you a little disappointed we didn't see a more open game with some goals? We've got loads of great attacking players out there, like Suarez and Messi came on and Higuain. It just didn't quite kick into life.
Yeah, perhaps hoped rather than expected something a bit more expansive, Rob, because a point apiece was always going to be a pretty good result for these two giants of the European game. Back-to-back goalless draws for Barcelona in the group stage
of the
UEFA Champions League, but it guarantees them top spot and takes them through as group winners for the 11th successive season. That is some record that Barcelona have in progressing, not just from the group, but as leaders of their section. For Juve, well, a goalless draw, their first goalless draw of the season, it puts them in prime place to join Barca in the round of 16, but they will need to go to Olympiacos and get a victory to be absolutely sure, because Sporting are still in contention in third place.
Yeah, both teams playing, they were relatively content with that scoreline. We've heard from some of the players involved in this one.
Yes, we've heard from the Barcelona camp. We've heard from their coach Eduardo Valverde on his decision to leave Lionel Messi on the substitutes bench tonight. No, he wasn't suffering a knock. We just decided for once that we'd give him a rest, although the idea was always to keep it tight without him and let him try and open up the game in the second half, which he duly did try and do when he came on 55 minutes. As for Massimiliano Allegri, the Juventus coach, well, he says the point is important for us. We'll go to Greece knowing that victory will certainly give us qualification. Let's not forget that we were facing Barcelona tonight, so the glass is half full.
I think that's quite right. But Barcelona, the way they've dealt with this group, I think, has been really good. And it has been a group of three. It's not been just Barcelona and Juventus. I think Sporting have deserved to take this to match day six. They've given the big two really good games on every occasion. They'll hope to do the same at Camp Nou. But I think everyone's going to come out of this with what they want. Sporting, perhaps, with just pride.
They are looking to qualify for the UEFA Champions League round of 16, Sporting, of course, but UEFA Europa League probably looking more likely. They've beaten Olympiacos 3-1, two goals for Bas Dost. How do you think that Sporting camp's feeling at the moment, Steve?
Well, they will be glad that they are still in contention going into match day six. I think pride would dictate that they wanted to try and make it a three-team group, as Andy Brassel just pointed out. And that's certainly been the mood from the camp. Bas Dost, who scored two of the goals in the 3-1 win over Olympiacos, has said it was a good game for our side. We are very proud of the team. We wanted to win. We did that by playing fantastically well. In a group containing Barcelona, Juventus and Olympiacos, it is no small feat to have 7 points at this stage. So I think that gives you a measure of their mood after five match days.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, in fact. Okay, so Group D looks like this. Barcelona, group winners, 11 points, Juve 8, Sporting 7, Olympiacos 1, and out of European football altogether. Olympiacos host Juventus next. Barcelona take on Sporting at the Camp Nou. Our second feature match from Wednesday was in Group C, Atletico facing Roma. Phil Blacker with the commentary.
Atletico coming forward again here with Correa cutting it back, and there is the goal! It's Griezmann with a stunning scissor kick, flies past the goalkeeper. Atletico still have hope in the UEFA Champions League. His goal drought ends here. Stunning strike from Antoine Griezmann, and they finally have their noses in front. It's Atletico 1, Roma 0.
Not to run by Correa because he knew Griezmann was behind him, slips it through. For Camero will get there first. It's around the goalkeeper. Oh, and he squeezed it in. A stunning second for Atletico, who double their lead with 5 minutes to go. And they will take the race for qualification, surely down to match day six. Really well taken goal by the substitute from the narrowest of angles. It's Atletico 2, Roma 0.
So similarities really between the task that Napoli had to perform and that of Atletico in beating Roma. Phil Blacker joins us, of course, on the show. Phil, Atletico, first of all, did they deserve their 3 points?
Absolutely. They were the better side, Rob, for much of the match, by some margin as well, really. The need was the greater, of course, knowing that they had to win this one. Roma always without that second chance, perhaps at the back of their minds, knowing if they beat Carabag on match day six, they will still go through. Weren't really at it in this game. They started brightly, Roma, in the first 15 minutes or so, but Atletico began to impose themselves without finding the quality in the final third in the first half. But that came the longer that the game went on. It turned on the wonderful goal from Antoine Griezmann. He'd gone eight without scoring one for Atletico since his penalty against Chelsea on match day two. But a wonderful scissor kick made the breakthrough. You never really saw Roma getting back in it after that. They went down to 10 men later on when Bruno Paris was sent off, and Griezmann playing a part in setting up Gamero for the second that settled it as well. But it still may be a case of what might have been for Atletico, proving what they could do with a two goals against the best defence in Serie A this season. They found the quality in the end to make it count, but crucially they remain 2 points behind Roma in the table.
And of course, Phil, Antoine Griezmann loves these big moments in the UEFA Champions League, and he always has. I thought that goal was really reminiscent of the one he scored for Real Sociedad against Lyon. What was it, 6 years ago? Sort of scissor kick at Jolland to set them on the way to the group stages. You talked about seeing the real Atletico tonight. Did we see the real Antoine Griezmann as well?
I think we did, certainly second half. Roma had dealt with him pretty well in the first 45, but the longer it went on, the more he came into it. And that was Griezmann at his best, wasn't it? That emphatic goal. And you could see from the moment that hit the back of the net, the confidence came flooding back into his game. As I mentioned, it had been eight without scoring. Had been on target for France in the meantime, but eight without a goal for Atletico. Soon as that went in, he was spraying passes everywhere. The tricks and flicks were back. A wonderful through ball for Gamero as well, his fellow Frenchman, to set up the second. Atletico will hope now that is Griezmann back at the top of his form, getting his goal. You know, it's funny how fortunes fluctuate, isn't it? All the talk before the game was the criticism that he was receiving. And now it's Edin Dzeko, who never really got in this game at all for Roma. He's gone seven without a goal, and his coach, Eusebio De Francesco, has had to spring to the striker's defence after the match, saying that he doesn't need to think about it too much. The more he thinks about it, the worse it is. We need to be a bit more precise with the final ball for him to put him in a position to score. Similar things that they were saying about about Griezmann for Atletico before the match.
Thanks, Phil. A reminder, Chelsea are through to the next round with a 4-0 victory at Carabag. Two goals for Willian, one from Hazard, one from Fabregas, both penalties. Head coach Antonio Conte was understandably relieved with the result.
I think that it was very important to reach this disqualification before to play the game against Atletico Madrid. I think it's a good thing for us, for sure, in this Champions League. We mustn't forget the defeat against Rome. But now I think that we must be pleased for this first target.
Chelsea top with 10 points, Roma have 8, Atletico have 6, Carabao have 2. Doesn't look great for Atletico. They go to Chelsea on match day 6. Roma will host Carabao. So it's out of Atletico's hands. On to Group A. CSKA Moskva 2, Benfica 0. A first clean sheet in the UEFA Champions League for 11 years for Iga Akinfeev. At the 43rd attempt, Georgi Shinnikov scoring a Jardel own goal, giving CSKA the win in the early kickoff. And then in the later kickoff, well, Basel have beaten Manchester United by a goal to nil. A late goal from Michael Lang, a tap in after a low cross into the penalty area in the 89th minute from Petretta. Let's hear from Manchester United defender Matteo Darmian, a little bit disappointed.
They create the chances. We didn't play very well like the first half, and at the end we conceded a goal, and now we have to look forward and think in the next game.
Manchester United host CSKA next. They're on the brink of qualifying United, but it hasn't quite happened for them yet. Benfica host Basel. Basel out of European competition. Great result from Basel, but Andy, you're not surprised at all.
No, I'm not, because... You know, they're in a transitional phase at the moment, but they do have tremendous history in this competition. They're always great against English opposition. They love to play English opposition, but they've come so far since playing Manchester United at the beginning at Old Trafford and looking like they were a shadow of their former selves. They've done really well to remain competitive in this group, obviously aided by the fact that Benfica haven't been at their best.
Absolutely right. United host CSKA next with 12 points, CSKA with 9, Benfica host Basel. And in Group B, Bayern eked out a win at Anderlecht, Tolisso having made one, then scored one, the winner, a fine header. And that victory means that Paris Saint-Germain haven't won the group yet. Paris Saint-Germain 7-1 winners over Celtic. Sensational, Andy, from them.
Yeah, they really were. And Neymar was brilliant right at the beginning in the first half. After that early goal from Moussa Dembélé, of course, Mbappe terrific again as well.
Celtic host Anderlecht next. Bayern take on Paris, looking to win the group. But, of course, Paris ahead on head-to-head record. Let's get some quick man of the matches, shall we? We're running out of time on Match Day Live. Steve Wyeth, man of the match, Juve, Barcelona. Not an easy one for you.
Marc-Andre ter Stegen very nearly snatched it with the save to deny Dybala at the end. But we got a bit of a master class from Andreas Iniesta, was the outstanding talent on show for 81 minutes he was on the pitch, so I'm going with him tonight.
Phil Blacker, Atletico Roma, your man of the match.
A bit more straightforward for me. He scored one, made one, perfect response to a difficult recent run, made the difference, Antoine Griezmann.
Sensational goal from him, and a sensational contribution from Phil. Thank you very much, gents. Thank you as well. That's all we have time for. Terrific couple of evenings in the UEFA Champions League group stage. We now know the names of 8 teams through to the round of 16. On Tuesday, we saw that thrilling Sevilla comeback against Liverpool, while Real Madrid and Besiktas put their places in the knockout stages. On Wednesday, that goalless draw for Barcelona in Turin was enough for them to qualify top of Group D, and Chelsea's win over Carabag means they're through too into the next stage. To find out who else will qualify, join us on Tuesday the 5th and Wednesday the 16th of December on UEFA.com and on the UEFA Champions League app from 19:30 CET. But for now, from Andy Brassel, Phil Blacker, Steve Wyeth, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Here come Liverpool again, though. Mane may be through. Simple finish for Roberto Firmino. Liverpool have 3. And we've only had half an hour of play. This is incredible. Liverpool in dreamland.
Insigne. Chance to hit it right footed. Oh, what a goal. Lorenzo Insigne for Napoli. That is a beauty.
It's Griezmann with a stunning scissor kick. Flies past the goalkeeper. Atletico still have hope in the UEFA Champions League. His goal drought ends here. Stunning strike from Antoine Griezmann.
Pandemonium in Andalusia. Liverpool stunned. 3-0 up at half-time. It's now 3-3. And it's another corner. Can you believe it?
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.